Hi, this is What You Say in English, Season 3, Episode 4.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to another episode of What You Say in English, the podcast in which I listen to you and give you my professional feedback. And today I have a special announcement because I just discovered this week a wonderful app. It was promoted in my Facebook timeline and I thought it was very interesting. Then the app is called Swell. Now, the meaning of swell in English is when something grows. Like, for example, you talk about excitement, your excitement swells. It can also, it's normally used as a verb, but you can also use it as an adjective. When something is swell, it's something great, something awesome. So the application is a micro podcasting app in which you can you have a limit of 5 minutes to post ideas, basically, reactions to something or to start discussions. In my case, I think it would be a perfect complement to what I do in the podcast. I can probably, for example, start a topic of discussion in one of the episodes and then extend the question and let people reply, because that's what makes it more interactive in the app. You can reply, but you reply by using your voice. So you record a message, also 5 minutes. And I started experimenting with the application this week, and I thought it was a fantastic idea. I thought I liked it very much. I posted a question basically as an experiment. I haven't had a lot of replies, basically because the question only got published among the people in the Swell community, which is basically starting out. I got one reply only, and I thought it was very interesting because I was inviting not only the listeners to my show, but also other native speakers of English that would also take part. So the question that I posted, it was taken from one of the exam books that I have, and it's a very simple question. It's, do you think that teenagers might perform better if they had no exams, or are exams essential for monitoring progress? And I repeated the question. I will leave all that links in the description of today's episode. And I think the app is going to do great. I think it's a fantastic idea. You can create your own profile for free and you can follow my Swellcast. I have to say that I love that expression, that it's a, what we call a blended word. It's when you join two words together, like podcast. And podcast is a blend word as well. But it's a swell cast. And a girl replied, she's a native speaker of English. And I'm going to repeat it. The question was, do you think that teenagers might perform better if they had no exams, or are exams essential for monitoring progress? Okay, so this was her reply.
Hello. I think this is a really cool concept, and I'm glad you brought it onto Swell. I think you're going to find a lot of cool people who will be interested in this. Personally, my opinion is, I think the bottom line is it's good for students to test the skills that they've learned in a practical way. That's why I think, in my experience also, like learning through like projects and group projects and individual ones as well, I've always felt like the knowledge really stuck with me afterwards. Whereas with a test, I think maybe there was a bit more, I was leaning more into the memorizing aspect of learning, which, it evaporates from your mind afterwards. But with projects, I feel like also you get to see how things work in real time. That's what I like. And so I think that, maybe teenagers could benefit more from more project-based learning than tests as an accurate measure of their, of the things that they've learned.
What makes this answer fantastic is the idea that she has not realized how well-structured the answer is. She started by giving her impression about my idea of bringing my podcast on to Swell. She started by saying that she thought that it was going to, I was going to find a lot of cool people who would be interested in this. Also, she used a lot of fantastic expressions. When she started answering my question, she said, I think the bottom line is the end of everything. You can say a lot of things, but the bottom line is the final conclusion. And it's a very good discourse marker when you're speaking, especially because you may probably say a lot of things, and at the end, that's what your final message is. She also spoke about her experience with testing and how she felt about exams and preparation. And I think she gave a very relevant idea when it comes to project learning. Learning through projects is one of the trends in language teaching. It's project-based learning, or PBL, as we know it in the area of English language teaching. And I have to say that I also agree. I haven't replied back to her, and I will do it later today or probably over the weekend. And I will let her know that I also used her recording in my main podcast. So you can do the same. I will, every week, I will try to post a question of discussion or a topic that might be interesting and spark some debate. So I will encourage you to take part in this community as well. I think you will be able to have a lot of wonderful exchanges with other people. Now, as you read in the episode description, today is going to be a full C2 speaking mock exam that I did this week with two wonderful students of mine. And I promised that last week, I promised that I was going to ask them. So after I cleared out their permission, this is the C2 speaking mock exam that I did with Maria and Francisco. So just so you know, even though they say it in the beginning, Francisco is from Chile and Maria is from Italy. And I have to say that they're great students. Francisco also works as an English teacher. And every time I hear that other people dedicate their time to be English teachers as well, that makes me feel so great, because I know that it's an occupation, it's a profession that doesn't really get a lot of, I would say, in terms of salary, I would say that among all the teachers in the world, English teachers usually get paid less, especially here in Spain. I mean, that's, of course, that's a hay from another haystack. That's another topic of discussion. But I feel great when other people tell me, oh, what I do is I'm an English teacher, because I know that people who dedicate their time to teach English are people with a relentless passion for language. So this episode is for you guys. You did great, and stay tuned because this is going to be my reaction. Okay, so we'll begin with part one. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Frank, and this is my colleague. And your names are?
Maria.
I'm Francisco.
Thank you. Could I have your mark sheets? Thank you.
Yeah.
First of all, would like to know something about you. Where do you live, Maria?
Well, I live in Crotone, which is in the south of Italy. And I've been living here since I was a little kid, because I was born in New York, but I moved to Italy. And now, since then, I've been living here.
Thank you. And you, Francisco?
Well, in my case, I'm from Chile. I was born and raised in this country. And I specifically live in a city called Concepcion, which is located like in the center of Chile.
Thank you. And Francisco, are you working or studying at the moment?
To be honest, I'm doing both right now. I'm working. I'm a teacher. I'm a freelance teacher. I do online classes. And on the other hand, I'm preparing myself for the CPE exam.
Thank you. And you, Maria?
I'm working at the moment. I work as a teacher and I teach in the high school. But previously I was working as a lawyer, but in the court environment, I felt like being out of my element. So that's why I opted for the teaching job, which I think it's my nature.
Thank you. And Francisco, you said you're from Chile. What do you enjoy most about living there?
Difficult question to answer because I'm honestly saving money to move from this country.
Okay, so in that case, we say move out of the country. Okay, so we normally say move in or move out, depending on the direction in which you're moving. Okay.
I don't really like it that much. But if I had to say something good about this, I would say, well, maybe the wide range of nature that we have in here, and also kind of the wide range of different places that we have in here. For example, you can go to the north and you can have a very nice weather, for example. It's very scorching there. And on the other hand, if you go to the south.
Thank you. And Maria, what do you see yourself doing in 10 years' time?
Well, I think I will be doing the same job as I'm doing now because, as I said before, I love teaching. Maybe I would like to have more free time just to keep my interests to my reading activities, my gardening. Yes, and I would like to stay more with the members of my family.
Thank you. Now, so that was the end of part one. I would say that in general terms, you both did really well. In your case, Maria, for example, you had very good control of different tenses. So when you talked about the working in court, for example, you contrasted what you did in the past, what you're doing now as a teacher. So I think that's a very nice control of different tenses. Also, Francisco, in your case, your pronunciation is very good in terms of intonation, for example, that you're using phonological features to enhance meaning. And this is basically the end of the criterion for pronunciation, in which you use intonation and other phonological features to emphasize or convey other ideas. In your case, for example, when you were talking about your job, you're a teacher, a freelance teacher, so you emphasized the position exactly, adding the extra information. In terms of extension, for example, Francisco, you extended a little bit. I had to stop you because I knew that you were going overboard, probably saying things that are not really that relevant to the question. But in general terms, I think you got it really well because the questions are very easy to rehearse. The only thing is that you have to be careful with rehearsed speeches because examiners are very well trained to spot these things. And unfortunately, you will not get many points if you start sounding like you rehearsed something. Also, you have to keep in mind that whenever you talk about where you're from and, you know, you were born and raised, for example, Francisco, you said I was born and raised here. When you talk about the location of the place where you live, I mean, if you take the exam in your locality, like where you live, it doesn't make much sense to say, for example, and then I grew up in this place which is located in the southern part of the city, because, I mean, the examiner also lives there. So I think it's not really that relevant. You have to really adapt to the situation. So if you take the exam in your locality, it doesn't make much sense. And this also goes for C1. People preparing for the C1. So I would say that you have to be realistic about the information that you provide because sometimes it's just not that relevant. Okay. So I think in general terms, part one was done really, really well. Now let's continue with part two. In this part of the test, you're going to do something together. Here are some pictures of people in different situations. First, I'd like you to look at pictures A and D, and talk together about what the people might be thinking. You have about a minute for this, so don't worry if I interrupt you.
As for picture A, I would say that the worker is thinking about the job he's going to do. Maybe it's a difficult job. And what's your take on that, Francisco?
Yes, definitely. He's definitely kind of, I don't know if reflecting upon this, but definitely thinking about what is going on. And on the other side, in the case of picture D, they are kind of thinking what people are going to use these kind of elements there. They are collecting things for charity, maybe. What do you think?
Yes, probably it's true. Yes.
It's probably true. Not probably. It's probably true.
Or maybe something that has to do with health, diet, because I can see some fruit, water, I don't know.
Oil.
Oil, yes.
So yes, definitely. So in both cases, I would say it's kind of difficult to know what they are thinking, but...
I think this is good. For example, Francisco is trying to put all the two pictures together and see if he can draw conclusions based on both pictures at the same time. So I think in general terms so far, I think in terms of vocabulary, I would expect to have more. Saying, for example, the man in the picture in picture A, for example, he might be thinking about the project and how well it's going. He's probably thinking about how the structure is holding up. And because you can see scaffolding, for example, and scaffolding is just to secure the construction and you know that everything is well put in place. So he's probably pondering about the different things. And you can see, for example, that I'm using more elevated vocabulary, like to ponder something, to think about something. And in the case of picture D, for example, they're probably discussing about what, you know, food items they would put in every bag. Because obviously, I mean, I think you had a very good idea, Francisco, that this was basically for charity. So I would expect here a little more vocabulary. Okay.
Definitely in picture D, for example, they may be, I don't know, commenting what people are gonna do with these things.
That's a lot better. I think it's more for speculation. And remember that you also have to speculate. I think I'm feeling a lack of general structures for, you know, speculation. So I think you have to elaborate a little bit more on speculation and use other models for speculation. So in terms of grammatical resource, I'm lacking a little bit of grammatical elements that show this level of speculation.
And how they are going to benefit from this.
Yes, and they seem to be enjoying their...
This is exactly what I was hoping you would say. I mean, both of you, that... They seem to be enjoying. So I think that's a very nice construction that shows the level of speculation.
Activity they are doing together.
Okay. Now look at all the pictures. I'd like you to imagine that a local city council is planning a project to improve people's living standards. These photographs illustrate some of the areas that can be improved through such project. Talk together about which of these areas of improvement would generate the most interest among locals. Then decide on two or more aspects of city planning that might appeal to people in that locality. You have about 3 minutes to talk about this.
To start off, I would say that in the case of the picture D, that would be like a very nice activity in order to improve the situation, since...
I think that was a very good start, Francisco. To start off, that's a very good discourse marker, so well done. And in general, I think you're describing the situation effectively well, so well done.
They are collecting things probably for people in need. What do you think about it, Maria?
Yes, I see your point, because I think that is a positive thing to take care about other people.
I think that's nice what you're doing, Maria, because you're expanding on what Francisco said. And remember that this part, don't just stop and then talk about another picture. You have to at least react to what the other person said. The whole idea here is that you do the three things. In interactive communication, you do three things. You initiate, you respond, and you develop. So I think, for example, you're responding and you're developing what Francisco said.
But also going to picture C, mm-hmm. a kind of entertain.
So here you're initiating. So you're initiating another picture. So that's well done. I think this is what you should be doing in any interactive part, collaborative part in the exam.
I think that this is a good way of improve the lead.
Way of improving. Okay, remember preposition, ing form.
Standard of people, help them to spend their time by doing some interesting things.
Okay, so I think it's very well focused here because you're looking at the picture not as people going to the cinema, but more as the theme that it represents. I think it represents entertainment. So well done. And this is the focus that you should be having in this part of the exam, because the pictures represent something. It's not just about the details that you can see. It's about what they represent in the macro scale of the question. You know, like they're asking about the elements that might be beneficial to the project. I mean, but might be more enticing for the local people.
What's your take on that?
Yes, definitely. I agree with you. But I also kind of, for example, in the case of picture A.
Okay, so you're moving on to picture A, but you just said that you agreed with her. So you're not expanding. You at least say something. You need to be able to expand just a little bit and just acknowledge what the person said, not just a little beyond the I agree with you. Okay, but it's like, okay, I agree with you, but let's move on. Okay, so just stay a little bit. You don't have to like overextend, because especially if you have already talked about the topic extensively, but at least, you know, to say, acknowledge something. Okay.
It's also good to invest a little bit of money and time and effort, like creating new buildings, for example, in order to develop the city in this case. Don't you agree?
Yes, and maybe try to build them in a...
Trying to build, okay?
In a friendly way, in environmentally friendly way.
Okay, so maybe the way is a little out. I mean, like, it's not really that necessary, but I would say that that's a very good phrase there, a good collocation, and very specific vocabulary, you know, environmentally friendly.
Exactly. Well, in the case of picture B, to be honest, I'm not pretty sure what they are doing there. What do you think they're doing?
Maybe some kind of research. I don't know.
I think this is good, because even if you don't know what the picture stands for, just voicing out that you're not very sure what it is, I think that leads to a good state of the discussion, you know, the trying to get to the bottom of the situation and collaboratively trying to discover what it is. I think this engages, you know, the candidates way more than just trying to assume what it is, and even if you don't have any idea. So I think this is good. Obviously, if you know what it is, it's a lot better, because you can produce very specific language, vocabulary tailored to that picture in particular. So, you know, still, I mean, I think it's a very good way of being honest and saying, you know what, I have little idea about what this is. And then collaboratively, you come to an agreement of what it is.
Or they are using some advanced technological instruments.
I think it's an awkward collocation, probably devices or equipment. But I was hoping that you would guess that this is education. So picture B represents, advances in education. So like probably trying to introduce technology and investing on education, you know, like investing money on getting schools, you know, more modernized and, you know, more recent equipment. You can see, for example, that the one of the boys, the boy at the back or the girl, is using an interactive whiteboard. The boy or the girl in front is probably with a teacher, and they're doing some, you know, project, you know, like with a robot or something. So it obviously it has to do with technology in the classroom. So I would have hoped that you would tackle that in that way. And I think it was a missed opportunity. Of course, when you don't know what it is and you're not very sure, that's something that, you know, it's missing something. But, you know, I think it was very honest from you. And I think it's better than nothing, to be honest.
Which can be a way of improving the standard of living.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, in my case, I would be considering picture D in, I mean, what is going in this case, because
I think it's good, for example, that you're trying to reach an agreement, like getting to a final decision. And remember that examiners will expect you to get to this point. And you don't have to agree, you don't have to decide, but you have to let the examiner know that you're getting there. Okay.
Since you're helping, I suppose they are collecting food for other people, for people in need. And
indeed or in need? I don't know. I think it's, they didn't have it clear.
I would assume that they are gonna help people. And also, when you do these kind of activities, you help yourself, right?
Okay, so that's an expansion of the previous idea, because you have already mentioned about helping other people in need. So when you repeat ideas, you have to be careful of not repeating the same idea over and over, because you will not get points for that. Okay.
What do you think about it?
Oh, we can go for this picture because it shows us how we can improve the situation of
the economical situation of the
okay, not economical, it's economic. Remember that economical is cheap, like not expensive. And also, I can see that Maria struggled to continue with her idea. And Francisco, you stepped in. This is good for you, Francisco, but not so good for you, Maria, because that would mean that you need a little bit of help or support. So your interactive communication mark will not really get a high score. I mean, it probably would stay pretty much on where whatever the examiner might have considered at that moment. So you would not be pushing up that mark. In Francisco's case, it would be different because he would be pushing his mark because he's intervening and helping the other person. So I think it was is well done. In Francisco's case, of course.
Of the place. And it also, this is something that most of the time people take it for granted, I would say. I mean,
that's a very good phrase. Take it for granted. Yeah.
Everybody talks about being, thinking about the person next to you, or being a little bit more aware of what is going on in other people's lives. So definitely go for.
Thank you. So as the end of part two, I think both of you did well. Of course, there are areas in which you could have improved. I mean, there was an picture B was underdeveloped, for example. That's okay. It's fine. But of course, remember that if you're aiming at a higher score, you have to consider these elements. Okay, so let's continue with part three. Now, in this part of the test, you're going to each talk on your own for about 2 minutes. You need to listen while your partner is speaking because you will be asked to comment afterwards. So Maria, I'm going to give you a card with a question written on it, and I'd like you to tell us what you think. There are also some ideas on the card for you to use if you like. All right?
Yeah.
So you can see your card. Please let Francisco see your card. Remember, Maria, you have about 2 minutes to talk before we join in.
So, interesting question, and I, off the top of my head, I would say that...
That's a very good phrase, off the top of my head. So well done.
Preparation for the future is one of the most essential things because...
Things, I think the final S is missing.
We need to prepare for the future in a very serious way, and taking exams is the right way to do that. And also, when it comes to learning new skills.
When it comes to learning, very good, because to in that case is a preposition. So we have to use a gerund after this.
Yes, by doing an exam, I think we can prove ourselves and we can understand if we have learned something new. Which can help us for the future. And also in terms of memorization, I would say that studying is a good way of training our brain. And the more we study, the better.
Okay, the more we study, the better. I think in general, you're doing really well here. And I can see, for example, that you're using that three bullet points, and you're not exactly mentioning that of course, you said memorization and you talked about preparing for the future, but you're not relying too much on the bullet points as elements that you can just repeat. I think you're developing your own ideas based on those bullet points. And I think this is really good. That's the way you should do it. So I think this is a very nice approach that you have going on here. So well done. So far, I mean, you're doing well here. I think it's because of the way you pronounce, it's like you take your time, and it's maybe intonation, it's not really as effective as it could probably be, but I think in general it's you're quite intelligible. I think it's I don't have any problems understanding whatever you're saying. So and this is an overall comment. I mean, in general, in the whole performance of the test, there are areas, of course, in which you can improve, but you know, I think your way. I mean, you're there. You're on the right track so far.
Our brain works, and I remember, personally speaking, I remember when I was at university, I had to study subjects, a lot of pages. Hundreds of pages, and I at the time I got the impressions that the more I studied, the better my brain worked. And
very good pronunciation of the past, worked. Very, very well done.
And I still believe that, because growing older, day by day, I can experience that that my memory works well.
Thank you. Okay, so in this case, I think that the last part, you started with a general opinion, but I can see that you moved on with a personal experience and still developing the point. So I think this is very, very good. For example, if you don't have anything else to say, you can remember that you can always compliment by talking about your own experience. You know, in your case, if you've ever lived this, and that can help you develop the idea further and take the topic further. So I think it's well done. So keep on doing it. So let's, move on to the questions, the reaction questions. Now, Francisco, how helpful is it to study in groups as opposed to studying alone?
In my personal opinion, in my case, it's very helpful. It's very beneficial, since I'm one of those people who can learn by speaking. Like, I really need to talk about the topic if I really want to understand it. I that's why I'm a teacher. You know, I mean, I really need to explain it to the others so that. In that way, I make sure that I already understand it. So I would say that in my case, it's 100% beneficial.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that was a fantastic answer. You established a situation and you gave it a background. You gave your reasons as to why to think, you know, that you prefer to study in groups as opposed to studying alone or individually. So well, and a very well-constructed answer. In terms of discourse pronunciation, it was really good, very clear. So let's listen to Maria. What about you, Maria?
Yes, I completely agree with Francisco, because I think that when you learn in a group, is a more interactive situation. And by interacting with the others, you can help yourself memorize better things.
Thank you. Okay, so that was a good reaction as well. A little bit of lack of control at the end. But in general, I would say that was a very satisfactory answer to the question. Now, Francisco, it's your turn to be given a question. Here's your card. Please let Maria see your card. And remember, Francisco, you have about 2 minutes to tell us what you think. And there are some ideas on the card for you to use if you like. All right? Mm-hmm. Would you like to begin?
Yes. So what benefits could a continuous training program have on employees?
Okay. So this is, I know that you want just to probably repeat the question just so you can understand it better, because I'm also that kind of person. But in the exam, remember, I mean, of course you can do it, but remember that you don't get any points for this, nothing at all. So I think it's great, for example, that you just read the question aloud just to hear yourself, you know, say it and probably understand it better. But it's not helping you, to be honest. I mean, you can just repeat it in your head and it's fine, but remember that you're also running against time. So you have 2 minutes for this and you have to use that time effectively. So I think it's not really that necessary that you read the question aloud. Okay.
So I would say that it may be way more beneficial if you don't have like this continuous training program, since I believe that it's always a good idea to get feedback from both parties. I would say from
that's a very good phrase. So from both parties, because it's we don't say parts in this case. Parties is like group of people. So well done.
The employees and from the employees and also from the boss or from the manager. So I would say in general it's a nice idea. It's a very helpful idea. And additionally, you can also make sure that throughout the process, you are including maybe new skills, new work skills that the employees would need in order to be successful in their jobs, right?
That's a very good idea. You're obviously talking about work skills. And I think it's very nice that you mentioned that they can include those skills in their everyday work. So well done.
So in that case, it's as I was telling you, it's very handy and helpful to have these kind of training programs. Also, in the case of the soft abilities.
We don't say soft abilities. I know that later you say soft skills, but we normally, that's a collocation, soft skills. And you said it later, of course, because I did the exam. But soft abilities is just an awkward, it's not very common. I think I've never seen it. I've never heard it like that before.
Sometimes I would say that some companies really focus on working on the content or the information that the employees need to know.
There's this way that in which you say employee, I mean, you say employee, and it sounds just a little awkward, but especially when you say it in plural, it doesn't interfere with the message, but I think you have to work a little bit harder on the employee, because it's employee. We don't hear the ye sound, really.
In order to succeed.
The verb is succeed.
Of course, but there is also this other side of the this other side that has to do with the soft skills. That,
there you go. You said soft skills.
For example, when you're in contact with people in general, you need to be able to handle those situations, and it can be a little bit complicated. Sometimes you have some.
That was very nice, and I'm chuckling here because you're using intonation so well, so effectively, and it's a little. I mean, like that rising intonation, it's basically adding some emotion to what you say, and that's something that I would always recommend to people. Like, use intonation to emphasize whatever you want to say. That will definitely help you get a higher score, not only in pronunciation, but also as a way of interacting with the question and the interlocutor, the examiner, because you're really addressing the question and you're actively taking part in you know, whatever you're trying to explain.
Karens are people are calling this kind of weird behavior in human beings. So
Karens, I think it's I didn't get that reference in the beginning. Now that I'm listening to the recording again, I mean, I can definitely get it. So yeah, it's right.
You need to be able to have these soft skills just to handle and cope with these people.
Thank you. Of course, I stopped you, but remember that you could have also talked about hard skills. You know, like we have soft skills and hard skills, and we talk about knowledge, like growing knowledge or getting more expertise. And I think there were other elements in which when we talk about work skills, for example, we talk about more hard skills, like really the knowledge, the know-how of any job and the personal skills. I mean, I think it would go over those soft skills that you mentioned. So I think you could have complemented really well there. Of course, you did it really well, splendidly well, but you know that you could have contrasted that I think that was a missed opportunity. So, but in any case, well done. Now, Maria, are employees obligated to work for a company as payment for their training?
Can you say that again? Sorry.
Are employees obligated to work for a company as payment for their training? Okay. When you asked me to repeat the question, I had a feeling that you were not pretty sure. And even when I said it the second time, I could feel that you did not fully understand the question. So, of course, the answer that you gave was completely unrelated. And as I said, after I finished, we finished the mock exam, the mock speaking, I told you that in terms of for example, lexical resource or grammatical resource or pronunciation, you would still get good score because I think you said something. Of course, I had to say something. And I think that if you don't address the question, or for example, if your answer is not related to the question, I think the only part of the speaking that would be affected would be the discourse management, because the answer would not be relevant to the question. I think that's the only area that could have been affected here. Okay. Obviously, the question is, and I will post all of this in the episode description. But in this case, for example, the question was that some companies require employees to stay for a little longer as payment for the money that they invest on their training. Many companies do this in many countries. So basically, I wanted to know what your take was on this question.
What I think is that doing training takes an effort. So it's like working more than you have to work. So I think that in my case, personally speaking, when I have a training course at school, I'm not being paid for that. And I think this is not fair not fair, because I can't say I waste my time, because a training program is useful, but I have to work. It's like working. I spend more hours, and I'm not paid for that. So I don't agree.
Thank you. Obviously, you did not get the question. I think the answer was really nice, but it was answering some other ideas. But in that case, I think you would still get, some good points. I think that what you said was really good and really important and really relevant to today's world. But of course, the question was something else. Would you still be able to get points for this from this? Definitely. But of course, it would have to be points in pronunciation, points of interactive communication or lexical resource and other areas, but not really discourse. Okay, so you just have to keep that in mind. And of course, Francisco's answer went in the same line. Now, the question is, should I go, for example, if in Francisco's case, if he had understood the question well, because later he confessed that he didn't understand the question either, if you understand the question and you see, for example, that the other candidate is answering something completely different, you just go ahead and say it. I mean, you say, well, what I understood from the question was this, and then you say what your take was. You can still address what the other person said. I mean, I think what you said is good and is true, but I think the question was on this line, and then you give your idea. So that way you can, you know, like take the answer to the right course and maybe allow the other person to basically fix whatever they said. Okay, so I think it was a missed opportunity for both of them. What do you think, Francisco?
Well, in this case, I partially agree with Maria. I mean, I would say that, yes, you need to be paid when you are investing your time, like learning new things that you're gonna use when you start working in this new company. But on the other hand, you're also learning. You're also being exposed to new content. So since I'm a teacher and I work with content and knowledge in general, you also need to kind of appreciate some way that so. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And it was a good answer. I think the content and the way you expressed the ideas was really well constructed, Francisco. But of course, it was not related to the question. So still, I mean, as I said, you will still get points for the other areas of the, you know, the speaking assessment criteria. Now, to finish the test, we're going to talk about training in general. Which areas of studies or employee training should governments prioritize?
I would say, again, sorry if I'm really talking about teaching all the time, but I'm a teacher, so
I think that's a very nice way of providing a background to your answer. And it's fine. I mean, if you're repeating, of course, even though you're bringing up the subject again about teaching, but you're not really repeating information. You're actually expanding on whatever you said before. So I don't be sorry about this, Francisco. I think it's a very nice way, and it's very natural in any conversation. I mean, you might say, I don't want to sound repetitive, but, and I'm sorry about talking about this again, but I think it's a very good background to your question, to your answer. I'm sorry.
Definitely, I would say, at least in my country, the government should spend way, way more money in.
Be careful with the initial S's, Francisco, because it's not should spend, it's should spend, okay?
In education, I mean, some teachers, I mean, if you go to school and if you are there and if you see how teachers work, I would say it's not the best efficient way. I mean, you as teachers here, at least in my country, you need to spend a lot of time doing like filling in forms and doing jobs and activities that don't really have to do with teaching. So that's my take on that.
Yes, I agree with you, but I also think that money should be spent in other sectors like health services.
Very good, Maria. I think you're expanding. You're not only focusing on teaching, but you're also expanding on other areas. Well done.
Because talking about my country, there is a lack of fund in this sector.
Funding. There's a lack of funding.
Sector, and we really need to improve the sector.
If you could choose between running a school, a company, or being the Minister of Education of your country, what would you choose to be and why?
Maybe I would choose to run a school because I'm already in this sector, in this field, even if I work as a teacher. But just because of this experience, I think I would run the school in a better way.
Yes, I think I would choose the same as Maria. I mean, I also have some experience working in school, and I think I would do a very nice job. I have some ideas that could work. I could implement new ideas different from the ones that are going on right now in the school, at least in my country. So I would go for that also.
I think both of you gave a very good answer. Of course, you were basing the answer on your experience. Nice control of grammatical structures. I think it was a well-rounded answer. Well done. Thank you. Which do you think is more important for the people in your country, investing more in trade schools or university programs?
It's a difficult question. Maybe I would say in university programs, because nowadays, compared to the past, also recent past, I think that the way of taking courses, of teaching, is a little, it's not as it was in the past. In the past, it was better. It was something more serious. Nowadays, there is something too superficial. This is my impression.
I agree with you, Maria. I mean, I would say that it's important to invest money in both, but
invest money on. Okay, so the preposition with invest is on, okay?
But since I was studying pedagogy.
Was studying. So remember, we normally make one S. I was studying, not was studying. So be careful with that initial S, Francisco.
At university, I could see, for example, when university filter, when the universities filter students in order to be able to attend or not the classes.
That's a very good idea. I mean, filtering students. I think, of course, it's very advanced vocabulary. It's like selecting people and sorting people out. So, you know, like classifying people. So I think it's very well done, Francisco.
They don't really do a good job. And I would say that it would be a good idea to invest money on that.
You see, you know that it's invest money on. So in the the first time was just a little bit of lack of control. So still with preposition is when I see, for example, that students or candidates use prepositions well in one case, but then in another case, they don't. I mean, it's obviously lets me know that there's still some mixed control in that situation.
Especially in the case of the psychology area. I mean, some of my classmates when I was at university, they were going through really tough moments and process in their lives, and there was no like a support for them. So I would have to say like investing money in a university would be a good idea.
Thank you. Some people say that getting a university degree is no guarantee to become successful in life. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree. I believe in that because, as I can see, people who don't have a degree are successful in life because they are skilled, they are clever, and the fact that you don't have a degree doesn't mean that you don't like studying and get up to date with things.
Yes, exactly. I mean, and if, for example, if you're seasoned enough in a specific topic.
Very good. That's a nice expression. To be seasoned is to be experienced. Okay, so to have a lot of experience about something, seasoned, like when you talk about food, you know. So well done, Francisco.
You can definitely make money out of that. So
making money out of something. So that's another good use of, you know, prepositional phrases.
Even though having a degree, it would help you to get a decent job, I don't think that is the only way to survive.
Yes, and being having a highbrow profile, that...
Okay, highbrow, I think it's the expression you were looking for, but I'm not sure. But I think you, in that case, for example, if you're not really sure about an expression, I think you know, might as well try another one. So we're like a high profile or a low profile job or occupation. I think it would work just as well.
Doesn't mean it's necessary that you need to have a degree, no?
Exactly.
Thank you. That is the end of the test.
Oh my God.
So that was the end of the test. I think you both did well. Of course, there were ups and downs. There were moments, for example, that you lost control of the discourse, for example, like the relevance of the answer in pronunciation. I think in terms of intonation, I think that was the strongest part. Some individual sounds, of course, in your case, Francisco, you probably have to be careful with the initial S's and, you know, things like that. And in your case, Maria, for example, I would say that some good collocations, some good grammar structures, there were moments, for example, that you lost control and some phrases sounded a little awkward, but they were still understandable. Of course, when you have these situations going on, you have to make sure that you can overcome that in other parts of the exam so you can still make a good passing. You can get a good passing score, okay? In my opinion, I think you both, because I know that you have to take the exam quite soon, and you were hoping that you would get my feedback on this. So I would say that you're prepared to do the exam. And of course, just make sure that you become more aware. I mean, recording yourselves is a very nice way. So listening to this will definitely give you the input necessary to be careful with those things. Okay, so of course, repetition. Of course, if there's something that you constantly say, you have to like retrain your brain to not say it. So there, at this level, at C2 level, of course, there are like vices, but, you know, things that you say and then, you know, you constantly say. And even if nobody has been able to correct that, of course, it becomes a little more difficult to get rid of them. So, but I would say that both of you are ready. I would say that based on this performance, I would not expect a really, really high score, but I would say that you would get a quite comfortably a passing score. So I think you both did great. There were, as I said, very good elements. And of course, keep on practicing. That's the only way that you can improve. Okay, so very good luck in your exam. I know it's quite soon. I know you've already booked your exam day. So I know that the nerves, you might feel nervous, but I'm sure you have what it takes. And remember that the speaking is not the only part. I mean, of course, in the listening and reading and use of English and other parts of the exam, you can still get a really good score. And I know that you are very hardworking people, students. So I know that you can get this. Okay, so thank you very much, you guys. So, as always and every week, this was the end of today's episode. Thank you, Francisco. Thank you, Maria, for letting me share with the rest of the world what you can do. I think you are both great students, great professionals, great teachers, and I can't wait to see what the future has in store for you two. I am also currently working on an IELTS exam. It's a one-to-one, of course, because IELTS exams is just one examiner and one student. and I'm preparing everything so I can have this mock speaking for IELTS with another great student, and you're going to see it immediately. He has an incredible range, vocabulary range, and a good command of expressions. He's part of the TTP Academy, Bain's TTP Academy, and I'm always impressed by the way in which he can, he constantly shares his new discoveries about language and the articles that he reads and everything. His name is Domenico. So I'm still preparing everything. He texted me and expressed his desire to be part of the show and have a one-to-one IELTS exam, mock exam for IELTS. And also don't forget that I'm here, that you can send me your recordings. You can, if you just want to have a chat and be showcased in my podcast, you're more than welcome. I'm also trying to set up other interviews with other professionals, other experts, and I have a plan with the set texts. Let's see if it comes to fruition, as we usually say. But I want to keep everything under wraps, you know, like everything secret. I don't want to spoil anything, but I have some great ideas for future episodes. So stay tuned. Thank you very much for joining me this week. And until next week, bye-bye.